Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If I went to pick out a spot and I saw the word lease, I'd be like, you can fucking change that. You're not chucking me out.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Neil scratched the delivery man with his claws.
Oh, I know what you're on about. Yes,
yeah, you did.
Funny.
Do you want me to give the sequence of events, or are you going for it?
I'll let you try.
Okay, because I wasn't actually there. You came back and told me. Ordered pizza. Neil went to the gate to grab it off the delivery guy. And as the delivery guy reached over with the food, Neil accidentally caught his hand and scratched him. Apparently the delivery guy, he jumped back and was like, ah, you scratched me.
Yeah, you scratched me. Oh, sorry about that.
Was he overdramatic about it?
Yes.
Yeah. That was
probably went to go and get a tetanus or something.
Yeah, I picture him literally like rubbing me like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, so I'm a nail biter, but when it was coming up to Crime Con, you know, I was looking after myself a bit better, like actually filing my nails. So this was just before Crime Con, so my nails were a bit longer than I'm used to.
Mm.
So my hand-eye coordination was a bit off.
As soon as you told me that, I was like, if you're okay with it, I have to mention that in the podcast at some point, because I've previously slagged you for your talons.
Talons?
Yeah, I mean, that time it was in reference to your toenails, I believe.
I'd rather have talons than your fucking hoofs.
Trotters.
Trotters.
Even. Well, actually, you do slag my feet quite a bit.
Yeah, if you just look at middle toes, they'll remind you at Ninja Turtles.
Second and third one. They're a little bit weird. So something's not right there.
They're joined.
They're not joined.
They're like a Catholic candlestick. In the candlesticks where it's two?
They're not joined or conjoined. They're it's like a little bit at the base. It's weird. If we reach how many Patreon members can we, what can we get out of this? If we reach 150 Patreon members, I'll post a picture of my toes.
No, what she's gonna
or
do.
Or is this turning into like a fetish thing? Do I not do that?
I think she should start an OnlyFans Mortal Megan's feet. Mortal Megan's trotters.
They are weird. So I never really liked my feet, but their feet, you know, whatever.
I bet you're a good swimmer.
Very good swimmer.
We haven't been joined.
I'm not even sure. I don't even get benefit out of them, Neil. I didn't really notice them until I was with you and you were like, what's wrong with your feet? And I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you actually said, you look like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
And my world was changed forever.
I've got something to say before we start the episode.
Okay.
We've already started the episode. Before we start the case, before you start the case, I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, I was, I got up to do some editing and I took a little break and I was scrolling through Instagram and I came across this reel of a little Yorkshire lad. His mum was filming him and he was watching Pinocchio. And when Pinocchio's nose grew, this kid went, look at his nose. Like, like a proper northern accent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be a joke. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. But then it got me thinking. Now, you always portray me on this podcast as being thick. But listen at this, what I've thought. Yeah.
Sorry, just before you continue, I don't portray you as being anything. You just come out with some wild theories and...
You call me knuckle dragger and village idiot.
Oh, no, but that's generally speaking. I don't say village idiot. That wasn't me.
Oh, that I was say the listener.
I say knuckle dragger, but you were the one who told me that people call you that.
Yeah.
Well, not just you. People from your area. And I thought it was hilarious. Knuckle dragger.
So what I came up with in my head, and I thought, I've got to say this on the podcast. If Pinocchio told people that his nose grew when he told the truth, no one would know. No one would know his nose grew when he's lying. So say Pinocchio went into a shop and he five-finger discounted a few things and security went up to him and was like, that's Pinocchio. I can ask him and I'll know.
Yeah.
Did you shoplift? And if he says no and his nose grows, they'll be like, oh, he's telling the truth. You see how opposite Pinocchio could be? Am I not a genius?
Am I missing something here? Am I like, what is this?
Right. Let me break it down for you. Pinocchio.
Yeah, when he lies and his nose grows.
When he tells a lie, his nose grows.
Yes.
But if he was to tell people that his nose grows whenever he tells the truth.
No, because that would be a lie and they'd catch him out immediately.
No, because... What?
Because that would be a lie if he's saying that.
No, because
and
they
think... caught out immediately.
No, because his nose grows and they're like, oh, he's just said that, so it must be true.
Oh, yeah. So what you're saying is we need a spin-off of Pinocchio in like a criminal underworld.
I see it as like a stalker.
I have to be honest with you, Neil. I don't think you should have said this on the podcast. I think you should have found someone, got the ball rolling on this.
I was really proud of myself for that.
Well, like I said, TM. And I don't think you can, it's already a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll call him Pinocchio.
You could try and work with someone and do some dark alternative. Pinocchio.
But do you think that's good?
Yeah, I see what you're driving at.
Praise me.
Very good.
Oh, I feel much better now. Fucking hell. Trying to get blood out of a stone.
Every crime has a story behind it. A story that should be told. We are Truly Criminal, the home of true crime. Join us as we examine solved and unsolved cases from around the world. High-profile cases you may have already heard of, and lesser-known ones you might know nothing about. We will take you through the investigations, into the courtrooms, and behind the headlines. Find us on your podcasting platforms, as well as YouTube for the video versions.
So, right, well, with the pleasantries out of the way, what you
got? Not so pleasant.
What you got for us today?
Right. Well, today we are going to be talking about burial, or more specifically, burial leasing. If you hadn't guessed, we're discussing this topic.
Burial leasing. I know where this is going.
Yeah, fucking interrupted me. What I was going to say was, if you hadn't guessed, we're discussing this topic after Neil completely triggered the fuck out of me during last week's episode over his willingness to speak on a topic that he has absolutely no information on.
But I was right what I'm saying.
How are you right? You don't have any information to say you're right or wrong. You were just coming out with stuff. You were just saying, you're parroting something back that you'd heard on a video.
No, I showed you that video after. That was a different video to what I'd seen.
I don't give a shite what you've shown me. It's not, the point is that you saw something and just went with it. You didn't look into it. We're trying to stop the spread of misinformation here.
Oh. Well, I don't think I'm misinformed. You know, you've got billions of people on the planet. So you've got each year, I don't know how many died. Say half of them are buried and there's no new cemeteries. There's no new grave spots. So if I pay for a patch of land to be buried and someone comes over 6 years later...
Are we really going around this again before even getting into the episode?
Okay, yeah. You tell me where I'm wrong.
I just would... So confrontational with you. But then again, I say that I've done a whole episode just because you've pissed me off. But I take issue with you saying that. You know what I mean? Basically saying kind of tell me where I'm wrong and all this kind of thing. I will tell you where you're wrong. Why are you getting, you know, offended by it?
Because you're trying to say I'm wrong again.
But you can't be right or wrong because you haven't researched it and formed an opinion.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, what do you think we're here
okay,
for today?
That's okay then, I'll hear you out.
So with the topic today, allow a bit of leeway here because, of course, it's going to vary from country to country. But if you guys happen to have any information about a specific region, please do let us know as I'm sure we can further the conversation. Or possibly do an oddity if you come across a particularly unusual method or process.
Yeah, let us know if a family member was buried and they paid for the headstone, they paid for the land, and then you went to visit them one day and it was someone else. I don't think that's funny if that happened.
I think it is because we haven't even started. You're not giving it a chance. You don't want to argue it. So one of your concerns was cemeteries running out of space. That was one of the points you brought up, yes?
Yes.
A 2013 survey indicated that about half of cemeteries in England could run out of space within 20 years. And research published in 2021 has stated, a quarter of council-owned cemeteries will be at capacity in 10 years, with one in six of these full within five. And according to Co-op, because of the shortage, they recommend making these arrangements in advance, especially if you wish to be buried with a loved one.
Dad used to work for them.
I find that mad, because Co-op, I think of it first off as the supermarket. But
well,
they're
that's
like
a bit
whole...
of a stretch.
What do you mean?
More like a corner shop.
Well, you know, grocery type thing. Yeah, and apparently they're really big on funerals.
Yeah, I think that's how they started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, I was being a bit harsh there saying corner shop. They're between a supermarket and a corner shop.
Mm. Like a Centra or Spar kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they, like I said, they recommend making the arrangements in advance. Having said that, if the cemetery you've chosen is full, the funeral director can look into alternatives for you, such as using the burial plot for another family member.
See, it wouldn't be an issue with me because I'll be out in the water.
We're going to talk about that.
Are you saying that's full?
Well, no, I'm just, we're going to get into it a bit.
Okay.
Don't worry, I know it's of interest to you.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Now, in contrast to the UK, there may be restrictions placed on the advance purchase of a plot in Ireland, like the limitation of purchase before the age of 65. This is again due to limited space. So you're not wrong, Neil. There is a genuine concern about the lack of space.
Mm. So I'm not full of shit. Not completely full of shit.
No, you do have a point. I take what you're saying, but you just have to look further into it. You can't just make a wild claim and that's it.
But I don't research. I edit.
Well, stop talking about it then.
I can have an opinion.
You can't have an opinion if you've no information on it. This is what I'm saying. It has to be an informed opinion.
Do you think everyone who has an opinion researches?
No, but I don't listen to them. But I have to listen to you. In Ireland, you can reopen a grave and inter other members of your family. But a space of at least 1 foot must be left between each coffin. And generally speaking, a typical grave can accommodate 3 to 4 bodies.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I'm already kind of bursting your bubble here, aren't I?
The double stacked?
With at least 1 foot between each coffin, yes.
But then there's only 1 headstone.
Yeah, I mean, you can have headstones that have multiple... You've seen that before, haven't you? Where it'll say, like, mum and dad.
Yeah.
Or maybe the child or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can bury multiple people in 1 plot.
Yeah, but it's not like Mrs. Smith and Mr. Jones.
I mean, if you want to do that, you can. But generally, it's usually family in this situation.
Living in sin, in death.
Living in sin? Of course, another aspect to consider, due to the high demand, is the outrageously high prices. In New York, there is virtually no space left. So Ed Koch, the former mayor, he prepaid for his plot in Manhattan at a price of $20,000. And that was back in 2008. You can only imagine what it would be now.
That's just for the land.
That's for the plot where he's going to be buried, yes.
See, that's another issue what people had. You know, in the 1990s, if someone pre-bought a headstone and they had like born in 1947, died in 19, and then put the rest in later.
Yeah, but why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just leave the entire year?
If you come across a good deal, if you come across a bargain to pre-buy.
I think you're just getting this solely from King of Queens. I don't think
it does happen in King of Queens, but I bet that's happened to people in real life.
Probably. Anyway, Ed was happy with his decision and he described the purchase of the plot as a, quote, good investment. In Hong Kong, prices can reach up to $280,000, the equivalent to 31,000 euros.
Fucking hell.
Mm. Again, like I said, you're not completely wrong. There is a lack of space. This is a concern.
Mm.
Now, land ownership. You seem to be under the impression that you buy a plot of land and it's yours to keep.
Yeah.
This is not true.
See, if I went to pick out a spot and I saw the word lease, I'd be like, you can fucking change that. You're not chucking me out.
Well, I don't think you're going to be getting buried then.
Well, that's a good job. I don't want to.
I mean, that's essentially what we're looking at. Of course, conditions and agreements vary, but generally speaking, it's a case of purchasing the right to be buried within that cemetery plot, not land ownership.
See, I know it would be different from cemetery to cemetery, but I'm fairly certain there's still headstones in where my nanan's buried.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's headstones and it's 1884.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
So it's not like they're only there for 5 years. Or 50 years, there for a long time.
No, there's plenty of graves that are still untouched and some that may be protected. But generally speaking, in more modern times, you do not own, you rent essentially.
So, say, right, who's died recently? Right, Queen Elizabeth II.
Well, she'll probably be grand. They'll probably sort her out.
They're not going to dig her up.
They'll probably sort her out for all eternity. Eternity.
Elton John.
Ah, he'll probably be grand, but he's got a fair amount of money.
So how does it go? I know we don't really have them over here, but in America where they have the wall and they cement it.
Mm-hmm. Build a new wall.
What?
Build a new wall.
What, they'd knock that down?
No, I don't know, but I'm saying that that's just a wall. That's not.
Okay. Because there was something ages ago I was reading, and it was someone who was he obsessed with a celebrity, and they wanted to be buried above...
Yes, Marilyn Monroe.
Facing down.
Yeah. Yeah, that creepy fucker.
That's disgusting, that.
Mm. Now, I know this is one that rocked you when we talked about it last week, when I said basically read the fine print.
Yeah.
So I've got some examples in regards to the more, the leasing side of it, or the duration anyway.
Right.
Which, you know, varies from country to country. So first off, we have Germany. In Germany, it's generally a 15 to 30 year lease. In Greece, it's shorter periods of about 3 years, but can be extended. Switzerland and Sweden, 25 years. France, they offer both continuous use or the option to lease. Italy, 10 to 30 years. The Netherlands, 10 to 20 years. In the US, generally it's for continuous use, but again, can be reclaimed.
10 to 20 years is nothing.
Yeah, but you can extend.
But you can if you're dead.
In the UK, they are not necessarily reused, but when they are, it's after an extended period of time, say 50 to 75 years. Or the City of London Cemetery, which has started reusing graves which haven't been disturbed in 75 years.
Hmm.
So they're completely, you know, like you were saying about the older graves.
Yeah. There's some graves in that same graveyard. It's got like metal bars over it, like curved over it. And, and I was like, is that for people to get to not get in? Or is it for what's buried to get out? And apparently it was to prevent grave robbers if someone's been buried with items.
Kind of drawn attention to it though, aren't you?
Yeah. But yeah, you think someone in the local area who's wealthy and they, you know, they die. I was going to snuff it. When they die, if they didn't have the bars on, I know you're saying it draws attention to it, but if it's in the local area, people will be like, digging that one up.
Mm.
I remember him. High tipper.
Well, we actually did an oddity around that. Do you remember? It was the story of a woman who apparently was buried twice.
Yeah.
And the grave robbers went to take her jewels.
Yeah.
And got the fright of their life.
I don't believe that happened.
Yeah, take what you want from that story. In Ireland, graves can be reused after 75 years. But is actually being considered whether to raise this to 100 years. So Ireland's going the other way. They're trying to leave them to rest a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're unable to or choose not to do so, your lease is up.
Right.
In Spain and Greece, families can rent a crypt where their bodies will lay until they've decomposed. After this, the body is moved to a communal burial ground. And the crypt will go to another family. In Israel, there are multi-story burial tunnels. In higher populated areas of the world, cremation is often the chosen path, method.
So I disagree. I think burial is a higher percentage.
You don't get to disagree. But in the UK, what do you think is more popular?
Burial.
Cremation.
Ireland. Burial.
Burial in Ireland, yeah.
America, now, burial.
Obviously, so, obviously, you know, there are people who bury the ashes. But if you're to literally pick burial or cremation, yes, in the UK, cremation is higher. In Ireland, burial.
That's
but
what,
cremation is becoming
That's
more
what
popular.
They did for me, granny. You know when I said it's like an A4 sized bit of concrete? That's what they did. They buried her ashes. You know, speaking of crypts, imagine being a cleaner for a crypt.
Well, meaning what? Just the creepy factor?
Well, like, so someone's decomped, yeah?
Yeah, they've decomped.
Yeah, and so they get taken away. Someone's got to clean that patch before the next family comes in with their body.
Yeah.
That can't be a good job.
It'd probably be a case of more a solution and the whole thing is getting sprayed and scrubbed down. Do you know, it's kind of, you're not getting too in-depth, I would imagine. It's kind of just a...
Well, I weren't expecting him to be there with a fucking toothbrush.
But what do you say? Well, it's not that gruesome then if you're literally just coming in with a massive sprayer and scrubbing brush and stuff and giving it an old scrub down.
Decomp has a smell to it.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't, Neil. But I'm just saying it's not like the creepy side. Like I went into I actually went into a crypt before and all the coffins are stacked and you can just essentially see the bodies there. I mean, it was pretty interesting, but I remember because I was quite young at the time, I was still a kid, and I remember thinking, this is morbid as shit.
Yeah.
You know, although I found it interesting, it seems a little bit twisted bringing all these kids down there. A lot of the other kids didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
They were kind of a bit, ugh.
And then you were the little freak.
Yeah.
Picking out your fucking plot.
Would you, because I know you're not as into the more, you know, morbid shit.
Mm.
But just for the curiosity, if you had been offered that as a kid, would you have gone? Would you have enjoyed it?
No.
You freaked out?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. I had better things to do when I was a kid.
I clearly didn't.
There is one morbid thing I would go and see in Edinburgh or Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Going down into skull thing.
Yeah.
That
catacombs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do really, really want to do that. The only problem is I do really want to go to Paris. I haven't been yet. You don't. Would you make the trip to go and see it?
I've told you, I will take you to France for a holiday. But we are not staying anywhere near Paris.
No, I understand.
We can go to Paris for the day.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Would you, I know you don't have an interest in going to Paris, but would you specifically for that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you came to Rome with me to go and look at Colosseum and all that. So I'll do
Yeah, but
I'll
I didn't have anything. Yeah, but I didn't have anything against Rome. You have something against Paris.
Right, listeners. We was in Rome. The weather was beautiful. She's there with this nice coffee, fresh pizza. And I said
Not
to her,
at the same time.
And I said to her, I went, this is the best holiday I've ever had. I'm really enjoying this. We was only like a day or two in. And I was like, this is the best holiday I've had. Isn't it so nice here? Do you know what her response was? It's not Paris. I'd prefer Paris.
No, I didn't.
You fucking did. Outside the cafe we went to near Colosseum, they were your exact words. You went, well, it's not Paris.
Well,
I'm like, fucking good.
I don't think I... Okay, well, if I did, I'm not going to say I didn't. I don't remember. I don't think... seems like a weird thing to fucking say. If I did, I must have been saying to wind you up.
You were like, I'd prefer to go to Paris.
Yeah, I really
I'd
do
pick
want
Paris
to go.
Over Rome.
I like, I've never been to France. I want to go to France. But yeah, no, I'd love to go to Paris. Anyway, like we said, in higher populated areas of the world, cremation is often the chosen method. Depending on the country, it is common to store the ashes. Like in Singapore, there is a company who stores urns, 50,000 to be precise, and the remains can be collected when suited. In India, the majority of the Hindu population prefer to scatter the ashes of a loved one, opposed to burying them, if and when they ever find a location. So what happens after the lease is up? Bodies can be removed from the grave to allow for them to be buried deeper, and a new burial takes the previous spot. Or the remains can be removed completely and sent to an ossuary.
What's that?
Where they basically store skeletal remains. In regards to the gravestone or any type of memorial, this will most likely depend upon the agreement made, but from what I gather, it is removed and usually made ready for collection. So what are the alternatives to burial? Another option is resumation, which is water cremation, which we've previously talked about. Ireland was the first to facilitate this method in Europe, but is fairly accessible in the US. The UK have since started offering this service as an end-of-life option, or as they have crudely put it, boil-in-the-bag cremation.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. There's quite a few articles about it coming to the UK, and that's how they're describing it. Boil-in-the-bag, which...
Like Uncle Ben's?
Yeah, essentially. And I've seen a little bit of pushback. Some people are now... I don't want to say against the method, but they're a little bit wary of it because it's being described.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know. What about burial at sea? Does that float your boat, Neil? Huh?
It depends.
But don't just blow past my joke. Did you enjoy it?
What?
I said, what about burial at sea? Does that float your boat?
Very good.
So this is a bit of you.
No.
Oh, I thought you were swaying towards burial at sea.
Yeah, Viking burial. But burial at sea is usually they go out on a boat, they've got a body in a coffin.
But you can't just float a corpse out.
You set it on fire.
How does that make it better? A flaming
right.
corpse.
You have me on a pallet and you push me out. Yeah?
Yeah.
You set me on fire. The pallet eventually burns and the body goes into the water.
But it is not that simple.
That's exactly how it's done.
There are regulations. You can't just set a corpse on fire and push it out into a body of water.
All right. A pallet wouldn't work. A pallet definitely wouldn't work. Put me on a canoe. Push me out in a canoe. Or a rowboat.
Okay. How about I talk about burial at sea, and then once I've finished, you tell me how you're going to work around it to do your Viking burial.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So gov.ie have a section regarding burial at sea. I actually found it quite amusing because the guidelines for burial at sea have been published by the Department of Transport.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
For burial at sea, it is recommended that the body first be cremated and that the ashes are scattered at sea rather than just, you know, lobbing a body into the water.
Lobbing.
What word would you prefer?
Place. Gracefully. Fucking lob.
The reason for this is to, quote, prevent distressing situations such as where a body is returned to the shore.
Well, that wouldn't happen with mine.
Why wouldn't it?
Because it'd be in bits.
Is that not just as distressing if a random limb was to wash up?
Chain it down.
Where cremation is not feasible, it's recommended that the burial take place at least 50 miles from the coast with a depth of at least 200 metres. Now, there are also guidelines regarding how the body should be prepared for sea burial, as well as the design of the coffin. The body needs to be weighted, preferably iron or steel, at a weight of about 100 kilograms.
Sorry, you're not going back to the cremation and, you know, my way? Well, the Viking way?
Yours is kind of a cross between cremation and burial at sea, when you think about it.
Yes.
You're splitting the difference. You couldn't decide.
Yeah. You let my body sink. That's not going to do anything to the ocean. But if you've got people just going around swatting ashes about, it's polluting the fucking water.
But you don't think the fluids seeping from your body could pollute the water?
Well, no, I'd be shark food, wouldn't I? So it's actually a circle of life, my way. Whereas your way, shark's going to get a gob full of ash, be pissed, and then go looking on coasts for actual food.
So the body needs to be weighted down, like I said, preferably iron or steel, and a weight of about 100 kilograms. No plastic bags, but cotton or paper can be used to cover the deceased. No embalming. The coffin should not be made out of timber or oak, and should also not include synthetic material, lead, copper or zinc. It should be made to withstand impact, including having the corners reinforced. Holes should also be drilled into the base, sides and lid of the coffin to assist descent into the water. Sounds a bit of a faff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lot for burial at sea.
Yeah. Just chuck the body in, like.
So how about skipping all of this hassle and bollocksology and just burying your loved one in the garden?
I said that to you. I said, if I die before you, which it looks highly likely, why don't you bury me in the garden, get it done with, and then go to the council and go, place of worship, and then you don't have to pay stuff.
That's not exactly how it works. So in Ireland, this can be done, although there are a few hoops to jump through, including planning permission. The same goes for Scotland, which planning permission is just a fucking nightmare.
So we'll do it in Sheffield?
Well, you're actually right. In England and Wales, there is no laws preventing burial on private land, apparently. So, if you do go for this option, there are a few things to consider. It's not just digging a hole. Firstly, you have to have the correct dimensions and make sure you're accounting for the size of the coffin. You also want to make sure you've got yourself a ladder. Don't just keep digging for fuck's sake.
That's what I'd end up doing.
Like, I just see you digging away like a mad Egypt and then being like, huh.
And Norman just looking down at me.
Bit of a pickle here. Be aware of the soil type and have the proper equipment to shore up the grave in case of instability. While removing the soil, make sure it's far enough away from the hole so it doesn't cause the grave to cave in. And finally, make sure there is someone else present in case you are shy to digging holes and an accident does occur.
Like what?
Like a caving in.
Oh, okay.
Or you forget your ladder. I realised after writing that section, I'm essentially giving someone instructions on how to dig a grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, we have some weirdos listening.
Disclaimer, this is solely for the purpose of, you know, burying a loved one once you've got planning permission and the whole shebang.
Mm.
How's that? Are we covered? We good? Now, someone who chose to be buried on their own land is Martin Neary of County Mayo. Martin, who is now in his 80s, finally got the go-ahead for planning permission to be interred on his own land. And Martin is only one of three people who've been granted planning permission for this purpose. In regards to the grief of trying to obtain planning permission, Martin said, quote, "They reckon I would poison the water. I'm only about 10 stone. I don't think I would cause much pollution." Now, Martin's story is not only interesting from the home burial angle, but because Martin has decided to donate his land. With no next of kin, Martin, with the help of the County Council and Western Forestry Co-op, have turned his land into a public park. Quote, "I'm very happy that there seems to be quite a few people here. I was only trying to please myself, but everyone seems to be quite happy with that."
Wait, so it's a public park?
He's since donated his land.
So you got kids running around?
Yeah.
And he's going to be buried there?
Yeah.
So in the future, someone could be like digging to put a sand pit in and come across...
Well, there's planning permission for it, so there's records. So if someone was to be building and they're doing it the right way...
Right, okay.
The remains of Martin's sheepdog have already been buried nearby, and Martin has stated, quote, "It would be nice to be buried close to a cherished friend." Fucking good man, Martin. You know what I mean? Like, he's given back. Do you not think? You don't seem happy about this at all.
No. I was just thinking, I think we'd get Norman cremated and have his ashes in an urn.
Oh, so you drifted off during that, did you? you want to get Norman cremated?
I don't know because I'm dreading that day.
Mm.
So I don't know if I, as I say, keep the bag.
What about Ty? Keep the bag?
Yeah, because they put the ashes in a bag and they just give you the bag.
Mm.
So I don't know.
What about Ty?
Same. And then put the urns next to each other. I'm sure you can get pet urns.
Yeah, you can. I've always buried my pets after death. Of course. you can with your pet ashes, you can like get it turned into like jewelry or something, though.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Would you do that?
No.
You get Norman turned into like, you know, a nice knuckle duster or something.
Yeah. No, I've seen it where people will have a pendant on the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And you okay?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Necklace. You always say that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
There's a pendant and you open it and you can put ashes in it.
Yeah. I don't think I'd do that. I think I'd probably have it made into something and just carrying the actual ashes.
You can do that with sperm.
Yeah.
And
no.
Blood.
Yeah, no, I'm all set for that. I don't...
If anyone's interested, I can't remember what they're called. They're on Instagram and they make custom jewellery for the customers. But they'll get like some customers... or send in stuff and say, "I want this in my jewellery." So while she's like melting down the gold or whatever, It might be someone's vaginal blood. They do?
I just took a sip of water. Vaginal blood.
Yeah.
Menstrual blood.
Yeah.
Vaginal
and
blood.
Then there was another one. It was sperm.
Yeah, no.
To have around your neck.
Look, I don't want to be judgmental, people. Do whatever you want. But I'm a bit funny when it comes to bodily fluids. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't really see the need for that.
No.
I think you're taking the piss there. Got another one for you. What about natural burials? With natural burials, the body is placed into a compostable coffin and buried in a more shallow position, which accelerates the rate of decomposition. It takes just 2 years for the soft tissue to decompose and up to 20 years for the bones. There's also mycelium coffins, also referred to as mushroom coffins. Same concept, but at a much quicker rate. It takes just 45 days for the coffin to biodegrade.
So what you're saying is, someone gets buried and you could go up to it, just to be safe, 35 years later, and it'll just be soil.
Yeah, the body's broke down. You know, like we were talking about it.
They just remove, you pull headstone out, fuck that off, put a new one in, and chuck another body there.
We were talking about the other day, after recording, and you triggered the fuck out of me. And you were saying, and like burial and like feeding the soil and all this. This is really feeding the soil. The body isn't encased in a coffin. It's usually going to be put into cardboard or wicker
box.
Or, something that's going to break down, more natural fibers.
Mm.
Now, the best part or most morbid part, depending on the type of person you are, the remains can later be dug up and used for compost. So
you,
that's like
you know where the remains are.
Well, it's just the soil has been fertilized. So it's basically the same as a compost heap. You're not going to look and go, oh, there's my eggshells.
So if you buy fertilized soil, that's what it is?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh.
The panic just there. But yeah, in theory, you can do this. So as you were saying the other day to me about, you know, giving back to the earth and feeding it.
Yeah.
I assume you'd be in favor of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not what I want, but that is nice.
Why wouldn't you want this?
Because I want a Viking burial.
So let's say it's just without question, we have to rule out Viking for whatever reason. You can't do it. Would you go for natural burial?
No, but thank you for asking. No, I've already got it planned out. So you, your dad and your brother, right? You get me in back at car. You drive out to Glendalough. I've already picked out a spot at Glendalough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, put me on a canoe, rowboat, or a pallet or something.
Uh-huh.
Push me out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, fill it with hay and stuff. Push me out. Set an arrow on fire. And fire... Because your dad has bow and arrows.
I was going to say, I'm not much with the archery. You know, not much doing there, so...
Well, I'm not going anywhere, so you can just take as many shots as you want.
Do you know what's so fucking hilarious about that notion, right? You said Glendalough.
Mm.
Do you have any idea how many school tours go there all the fucking time? The idea
of
your
night.
But the idea of your corpse just like drifting in the background of a group of students. And then you got me and my dad just randomly firing arrows.
No, at night.
Yeah, okay. I'll try and get the ball rolling on that, yeah. So to answer your concerns in regards to the lack of space in cemeteries, this method gives the option of burial, but removes the current issues of cemeteries running out of space. So it's kind of a win-win with natural burial. Now, I want to jump back to Germany for a second. So Germany is a big fan of reusing grave sites, but something that was making this process difficult is that bodies which have been buried in some German cemeteries were turning into wax.
Why?
So corpse wax, or adipose cere, occurs when the body is exposed to anaerobic bacteria in the warm, damp, alkaline environment. So this happens when a body has been left in water or a certain type of soil. The process, which is called saponification, involves body fats turning into a soap-like substance. Soft, waxy, greasy, and grey in appearance.
Mm.
But as time goes on, the waxy material starts to harden and turn brittle. So the problem is, saponification stops the decomposition process, essentially.
Right.
Basically, the wax forms an almost protective barrier over the body.
So it's like mummification.
Yeah. Soap mummies is what they're called.
Right.
So, no good.
Or soap daddies.
You look so happy with yourself. So, this is no good for a country that is big on burial leasing. Basically, the soil that had been used for some of these cemeteries had a high clay content. So, an abundance of moisture, low temperatures, and lack of oxygen. And because of its poor drainage and the clay making it difficult for air to penetrate the soil, it's caused a right shit show when trying to reuse these graves.
Some might say a kerfuffle. Some might, but you can't. Just in reference, Megan just tried saying it and give up and said shit show.
So, corpse wax aside, I would argue if you're set on burial and natural burial isn't for you, then reusing graves does seem like a good move rather than a perpetual resting place. It's just not a sustainable option. So that was a quick look into burial leasing, for lack of a better definition.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what the problem is, why there's so much uproar. Because that isn't common knowledge. That isn't public knowledge.
I found all of this.
So that's why people are saying it as if it's a conspiracy theory, because they're like, where are the fucking bodies going?
But these people are going onto the internet to rant and rave about these issues.
Yeah.
They can also use the same internet to research this and get the information. Oh, also one of your other concerns regarding there being no new cemeteries built.
Mm.
There's actually going to be a new cemetery with over 8,000 burial plots in Dublin. The development got the green light last year.
Okay, so, that's Dublin.
No, but I'm just saying that that is a new cemetery, because part of your thing was there are no new cemeteries getting built.
That's no good to New York, is it?
I didn't say it was, but it's also saying that they are getting built. Even if there's not loads of them, there's one in the country we live that's getting built.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you, Neil, how did I do? Have I answered your questions, or have I put you a bit more at ease with your worries regarding these issues?
No, you did well.
Thank you.
You did do well.
It was out of spite.
I'm sorry for triggering you.
I did an episode purely out of spite.
Yeah, you said, I'm going to do an audit here on that because you've triggered me. And then she was researching it and she turned to me and she went, I think it's actually going to be a mini because there's too much for it to be an audit here. And then she turned to me again and she went, okay, this is going to be a full episode. There's too much for it to be a mini.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are you looking into? Like, how much can you be getting?
I was driven by disgust of your lack of information. No, but it is that easy just to look into something and be informed on something. If you don't give a shite, you don't have to do it. But if you want to talk about it and comment and put it on the internet and make a big fucking kerfuffle over it, then just look into it.
I'm going to defend the average Joe now.
Mm-hmm.
You're part-time a podcaster. This is what you do. This is your job. You research shit. How long did it take you to do that? Do you think someone who's worked a 12-hour shift is going to come home and go, they see that video and they're like, I'm going to research that myself.
But I'm not asking you to write up an episode for a podcast. It doesn't have to be as in-depth. I'm just asking you to check a few sources. Just you can go onto Google and type in like an actual question.
Where's me bodies?
I tend to look up leasing or renting of burial plot or something like that, and then I'll go off from there. But if you want, if you can't be arsed doing that and digging anymore, you can literally ask Google a question, a direct question.
You have a better idea. For that.
I do think it's funny, but you know what I mean. Like if. I don't know. I don't get why people want to be misinformed. Learn something. It's good for you.
It's like, right, this is the difference. This is why she makes fun of me. If I would say you wanted to find a breeder of border collies in Dublin, I would search, where is there a dog breeder for border collies in Dublin?
Yeah, yours is very wordy.
Megan's is border collie Dublin breeder. It'd be something like
trigger
that.
Words. Yeah, yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, okay, I haven't seen anything about this, about people going nuts, but you told me they have, and it wound me up. It really did, because I just don't understand it. You showed me something the other day that completely outside the podcast, and I was like, that sounds like absolute bullshit and completely manipulated statistics.
Mm.
Straight away looked it up and found out a bit more on it.
Yeah.
Because you just do it. I don't know why. Learn. But I mean, I'm not screaming at the listeners, because they're here to learn about something, about bear releasing. Don't we all feel better?
Or they just find me thoroughly entertaining.
Could be that, yeah. And they just have me going nuts about this random fucking topic.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the comments to come in. Megan, will you leave Neil alone? Just let him enjoy life.
It's said, it's an episode out of spite.
Right. Oddity.
Adolf Frederick's last meal.
Adolf?
Adolf Frederick.
Okay. Is this a last meal execution? Last meal?
No.
Or is it the meal that killed him?
Possibly. Adolf was the king of Sweden. His reign began in 1751 and ended with his death in 1771. He was said to have been a good husband, a caring father, and kind and gentle towards his servants. But as a king, he was said to have been weak and lacked the talents needed as a ruler.
An idiot.
Well, I mean, it's what I get from that is that he was a more compassionate person and maybe not built to be a hardened bastard.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, you can't make a decision because he didn't understand.
Well, I'm very indecisive. You call me an idiot. Yeah. That nervous laugh. But we're not here to talk about his reign. We're here to talk about his death and the last meal he consumed. On the 12th of February, 1771, Shrove Tuesday, in case you're wondering, Adolf passed away at the age of 60.
That's no age.
It's really not, is it?
Even back then. When was this?
His death was in 1771.
Okay.
I'm just going back a few years.
Oh, so, yeah, that is an age.
It's some age.
Yeah.
You might say. Now, the thing that seems to stand out about his death is his last meal. Adolf loved a good feed, and his last meal before his death was no exception. His feast included a main of lobster, caviar, turnip, sauerkraut, and kippers. He washed this down with what I imagine to be copious amounts of champagne.
Why champagne?
Because he was a king and had a lot of champagne just going spare.
I don't think they had champagne then. They had wine.
You don't think they had champagne?
I don't think so. See, it's usually like mulled wine and shit, isn't it?
Adolf had it, apparently, according to reports.
Oh. How'd they get the fizz?
What?
How'd they get the fizz?
Well, they had cider and all back then.
Yeah, but you don't know.
Part of fermentation, I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
He finished strong with a hearty serving of something sweet. For dessert, Adolf had hietveg. Traditionally eaten during the lead up to Lent, hietveg is a particular way of eating the Swedish pastry semla. And I tell you, it sounds fucking delish. It's a sweet bun filled with almond paste and whipped cream, topped with icing sugar. And when you have it, hietveg, not just the semla.
The thing I like from that is the pastry.
But when you have it as hietveg, rather than just the pastry itself, it's served in a bowl of warm milk. So, but it's the almond paste for me.
No.
I fucking love almond. Now, Addy over here, he treated himself to 14 servings of this pudding.
Yeah, that's killed him.
That sounds outrageously rich, very sweet.
Yeah.
Different sources report his death to have been caused by either a stroke, heart failure, or poisoning. But many like to put his death down to his large meal, which most likely caused a brutal bout of indigestion. But he wasn't in good health to begin with. He was said to have suffered from migraines, stomach aches, colic, hemorrhoids, as well as constipation and diarrhea. Which, constipation and diarrhea was not uncommon for royalty, given their diets. It was so rich and...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Just, I mean, all the rich food. Obviously no good for you to just only be consuming that, but, yeah. You know, living their best lives.
They had fruit, though. Because even if they were having a hog roast, they'd put an apple in the fucking pig's mouth.
Well, I mean, it's just because they had the finer things and they didn't quite kind of... they didn't quite understand everything in moderation, did they?
No.
So he wasn't in the best health. Overall, his immune and digestive system seemed to have been going through it, the poor devil. Officially, his cause of death was due to a stroke. But given that the man liked to eat, surely it would have been fairly easy to poison him. He was fucking chain swallowing his food from the sounds of it.
Yeah, either that or his arteries are clogged.
Well, the thing I took from it, right? So let's say it was to do with the food. So, it's going to be poisoning more likely. If that was the case, seeing as he was said to have been so well-liked, who would have wanted to poison him and what was their motive?
Well, if he were a shit king, someone wanted him out to be a king.
Yeah, it's his son who was the next in line, so...
Yeah, his son did it then.
You're blaming his son?
Yeah.
So you're going with poisoning, you're blaming the son?
Yeah.
I feel like if I lead you somewhere, like, slightly, you just go for it. Yeah, what do you think of that? It's widely reported that, you know, he died from the meal, but, you know, likelihood of that. You know, if you're going to say that it's from his overall diet and poor health.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't die from having too many puddings. Yeah. So you're going with poisoning? Standing firm with that?
Yeah, poisoning.
You're after a son now.
Fucking son did it.
Little shit.
Guilty. String him up. Just to let you know, you doing this episode just out of spite... You're forgetting I've got Neil's Nuggets on Patreon. I will get revenge.
Fucking bring it on. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.